school is in session. Well, it is for me anyway. I know you may not be on a higher education journey, but you are planning for or are in the midst of a shift in how you plan and spend your time. I know this because you are an Organize 365 podcast listener. Collectively, we are all lifelong learners, pursuing the best version of ourselves and putting into action the complete organization cycle. Over the next 4 years, I will share week by week what I am continually decluttering to free up my time and space, how I am organizing my days, my responsibilities, and my work, both seen and unseen, as I take captive every minute at my discretion to increase my capacity and productivity in pursuit of a PhD in psychology so that I can have a seat at the academic table in the discussion of how we use our homes and complete our housework and home organization tasks. Oh, there's the school bell. Let's see what I learned this week. Okay, so I'm going to title this episode, "You don't have 186 hours in a week." So I'm often telling you about Laura Vanderkam's studies, and she has a book called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. And I have probably spent the last decade trying to figure out how to maximize all of those 168 hours. And most recently, in getting enough sleep, like even maximizing my sleep hours, like I have biohacked my body to death. So in starting the PhD, I was as planned as you could possibly be. I know. Let you put your surprise face on, as my sister would say. I mean, I proactively got my colonoscopy done so I wouldn't have to have that downtime while I was getting a PhD. I mean, that's planning. So somebody emailed me and they were like, "Look, you're doing great. Here's some extra things that you could do to help you along your PhD journey. And also, please don't make it look too easy." And I was like, "Yeah, well, it's not easy. But I am not the kind of person that shares the behind the scenes of like, woe is me, all this stuff is going on." Because in general, that's not how I look at life. But also, just because it doesn't serve me, it doesn't serve you. Like, I don't even see the point. I used to be that person who whined and complained about the temperature outside. Like there is anything you can do about that. Take a layer off, put a layer on, go in air conditioning, turn on the heat. That's all you can do. Move on with your life. So I don't even know what the weather is going to be. Greg always tells me. So then I don't walk outside in a bathing suit if there's snow. But other than that, I mean, I just don't. I don't pay attention to the weather. I don't pay attention to things I don't have control over. But I am going to tell you the things that have gone wrong in the first 3 weeks, just so I can point back to this episode and be like, remember week 3? Yeah, not everything is perfect. Because I don't want to share everything that is not working, because I feel like I created Organize 365 for myself to be an example of what is possible when you focus on what you do control and what you and have a positive spin on things. And I'm generally a positive person. I just had a decade where I was negative. So I like the positive part of me better. One of the things that I tried to do in preparing for the PhD and the first couple of weeks was pretend that because I'm a pretty productive person, I would be able to add in this extra 30 hours worth of work and nothing else would really be sacrificed. Yeah, that's not a thing. Because there aren't 186 hours in a week. There are only 168 hours in a week. So I knew I'd give up some sleep, which I have. And just in case you were wondering when I would stop having rest time, it was on day 4. Day 4 was the last time I took rest time because I was like, I have so many things to do. I can't take rest time. And in week 2, I stopped even going to bed after classes or on time on nights when I didn't have classes. So I used to go to bed between like 8 and 10. On week 2, I was going to bed between like 11 and 12, and I stayed up until 1 night. And it didn't even matter if I went to bed. My brain stayed up until 1. So then I was just thinking until 1 or 2. One night, I never even fell asleep. And then week 3. So I had proactively gotten as many doctor's appointments done as I can, but literally on day 3 of school, day 3 of school, one of our family members had to schedule like 8 doctor's appointments. I was like, that time's gone. And since then, all of the family members except for myself have had to schedule doctor's appointments. And I'm pretty instrumental in the medical needs of our family, even though we're all adults. So whether I went to the doctor's appointments or not, which I did go to a lot of them, I still was mentally in the game and verbally in the game as we processed through each doctor's appointment and what it meant for the next treatment of care. So while I tried to kick the can of being the nurse and the mental health and medical needs down the can, my goodness, kick the can down the street, didn't work. And little baby Grayson, who by the way is a toddler, my daughter reminds me, he's not a baby. I'll probably call him a baby for the next 5 years, just in case you're wondering. He's 16 months old. He got a cold, which was fine. For a while, I didn't get the cold. And then, week 3, of course, I got the cold. Now, I told you that I am into biohacking. Not into biohacking. That means like when you know everything that's going on in your body so that you can make changes. Well, I'm not going to start like exercising. But I am doing some biohacking things just to get more sleep and more energy and basically be more productive so I can exercise my brain, not my legs. So I have this thing called an Oura ring. I think it's O-U-R-A, O-O-O-R-U-A. I don't know. It's those 4 letters. However that spells Oura, that's how you spell the ring. Anyway, this ring is used by high performance people who work out. I use it just to see how much sleep you get. As a matter of fact, I don't even wear it during the day because I don't need it to count my steps because I don't think it's accurate. I like my Apple Watch better. But I do wear it at night because I don't like to sleep in my Apple Watch and I want to know what kind of sleep I'm getting. And it's supposedly the best sleep tracker there is. So I got that for my 50th birthday and I will be 51 in March. So I've had it almost a year and I have not missed a single night putting it on. I love it. I love waking up in the morning and getting my score and finding out how much deep sleep I got, etc., etc., etc. In week 3, this ring has little sensors in it. It's basically a computer that you put on your finger. And I noticed that it was like red, like it was glowing red every time I woke up and I wasn't really sleeping that night. And I knew I had little baby Grayson's cold, but I thought, well, whatever. So when I woke up and opened up my little app, my Oura message was like, your resting heart rate was too high. It was too high. It was too high. I was like, oh, so that's why it was blinking red. I was like, I knew it was charged. Interesting. Now, last year, since getting the Oura ring, I've been sick 3 times. Normally, I'm not very sick. But when you live with a baby in the house, you're going to catch every single thing that the baby catches because, yeah, I hold him and love on him even more when he doesn't feel good. Because when a baby doesn't feel good, that's all you can do. So I got the cold. So last summer, I got COVID. I had the Oura ring on through the whole time, told me when I had a fever, all this stuff. But my resting heart rate was fine. And then in the fall, we got this really weird something. It wasn't the flu. It wasn't COVID. I don't know what it was. But it was like a low-grade fever. Your resting heart rate all day long and all night stayed up, which was really weird. And I can't remember the other symptoms. Achiness, whatever. It lasted like a week. So I was like, my resting heart rate is up again. And I have obviously a runny nose. You could probably hear. A little bit of congestion. And I was really tired. But also, the weekend before, we had gotten new flooring in the house. So I basically moved the whole first half of our house. So I had done exercise, which you know I don't do. So I thought that's why I was tired. So the next night, I go to sleep. Now, the ring is already red. I'm like, great. My resting heart rate is too high. And I can't sleep. So now I'm trying to meditate. And I don't know how to meditate. I'm like, I need to learn to meditate so I can bring down my resting heart rate. And meanwhile, week 2 of the PhD, we did our quarterly planning for Organize 365. So I'm trying to figure out our goals, reorganize our organizational chart, figure out our finances. Our bookkeeper resigned, trying to figure out who's going to do our bookkeeping. I knew nothing about bookkeeping. It's the first hire I did. What am I going to do? And I'm going to bed. I know my resting heart rate is too high. So you should definitely worry and not sleep. That's going to bring it down, right? Not obviously. I have a little bit of a headache. Hey, by the way, sidetrack. I've had migraines since the day that I became a woman, if you know what I mean. And now that I'm going through menopause, the migraines are going away. And I thought that might be what would happen. And yay, it is what happens. Because I had like 9 migraines a month during my childbearing years. And so I don't get migraines now. I get like, rarely do I get a migraine. It's glorious. Oh my goodness, it's glorious. But this night, my head was pounding, but it wasn't a migraine. It was just like a pounding. So now it's like 12:30 at night. I know my resting heart rate is too high. I know I have all these decisions to make inside of Organize 365, and I've taken way too much time away from my being a CEO to be a PhD student. I'm way ahead in my PhDing. I'm way behind in my CEOing, and the baby is sick, and now I'm sick, and now everybody's got these doctor's appointments, and what am I going to do? And my head is just, I've never felt this way before. It wasn't a migraine. It wasn't a headache. I don't even think it was sick-related. It was like a stretching. So now it's 12:30 at night, and I'm like, my brain is stretching outside of my skull. I have broken my brain. I'm like, Lisa, obviously, you can't coast through being a CEO. The company's still growing, so your brain has to still grow. Obviously, getting a PhD, your brain is growing. You have to grow. Now there's a grandson. He has all these needs. Your brain has to grow. I'm like, my brain is growing too fast. I can't handle this much growth in my brain. And I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I thought, well, I mean, you could give up the PhD. And I've been very clear with Greg. If this PhD gets too much in the way of life, I'll give it up. So they're like, okay, it's only week 3. Do you already give up the PhD? Like, are you already going to say, that's it, throw in the towel, I'm done? And I thought, okay, well, what if? And I love to play this game. What if? Whenever I am wondering if something is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, I play what if with myself, usually at night, in the middle of the night, alone. And I think, okay, what if I made that decision? Play it out. Play it out a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, at the end of my life. Okay, if I give up the PhD now, all right, well, I could probably get my life back to where it was in December within, 2 to 4 weeks. And then immediately it hit me. I'll be so bored. Not that growing a company is boring. Not that being a grandmother is boring. Not that my life is boring. But that my capacity to do all of those things, I have more capacity than that right now. I've created a life and I have grown my skill set to where I have more capacity. I might not have enough capacity to do a PhD at the same time, but that's what I picked. Like, I didn't pick a bigger jigsaw puzzle. I picked an actual PhD. So I said, okay, Lisa, so you don't want to go back to being bored. You could pick a smaller project. Okay, play out not having gotten a PhD 4 years from now. And I was like, unacceptable. It's an unacceptable. I'd like to get it faster, please, because I really want to do research. I was like, okay, Lisa, why? Why do you want to do research? I was like, I want to do research because I want to sit at the table and I want to better understand, articulate, and disseminate. That's a word that I've learned in my PhD already. Disseminate. The information around what is happening inside of the American home as it relates to the invisible work being done. And then I knew. I didn't sleep the rest of the night, but I knew. I'm not giving up on the PhD now, and I'm probably not giving up on the PhD ever. I'll be figuring out other ways around getting this done. So here I am at the end of the week, woke up this morning, walked in, said to Greg, good news! My resting heart rate was back down again during the night. He goes, good, you kicked the cold. I'm like, I'm still sick. But, whatever. Yes, I'm over this hurdle. And I'm going to record next week on Monday since I'm driving to a bazillion doctor's appointments. Every time I go from one doctor's appointment to the next, I'm just going to record another episode of this podcast so that I can get ahead in recording these podcast episodes for you. Because also in the last week and a half, I've come up with like 6 or 8 additional things that I've put in place to help make getting this PhD easier on me personally, on my family, on our company, and I want to share those tips and tricks with you. And I've just gotten to work. So that's what I want to do. Like, that's what this podcast is for. Not to say it's so easy, you can do it too, or oh my gosh, getting a PhD was a piece of cake, I'm going to go get my second one. But basically to say that whenever you try anything new, if you're going to move, get married, start a new job, all these things that are new will totally stretch your brain and practically break you. But when you're done, you'll be so glad that you did because you'll have something new that is now a part of you, that is now just an internal capacity that you didn't have before. But the growth and the stretching that is needed in order to add on this new thing, in this case, a PhD for me, takes time to assimilate into your life and then also takes time to achieve whatever it is you're doing. So no, it's not all going great. Yes, I have a cold. I'm fine. And if you're wondering, because I would be wondering, what normally is your resting heart rate, Lisa? And how high did it get? So my normal resting heart rate, it's individualized for everyone, but for me, it's like mid-60s to 70s. So like if it gets up to 81 at night, like that is the highest it ever gets. For whatever reason, when I've been sick, it starts in the 80s and it can go all the way up to the mid-90s and even 100. I'm like, what the heck? So Greg used to run cross-country for years and years and years, even did it in college. His resting heart rate is super low, and apparently it's because he used to be a runner. I'm not even going to think about being a runner. I have to worry about getting my PhD right now. I'm doing mental marathons, not physical marathons. So anyway, I'm fine. My resting heart rate was never like dangerously high or anything. It was just high for me. And I just want to acknowledge and let you know that this is not easy. What I'm doing is not easy. I realized the other day, I actually, you know, often we say we want work-life balance. I want work-school-life balance. And my school is as big of a rock as my work, as my home. And I'm really learning how to juggle. And I'm hoping that the learnings I take from this can be beneficial to you in whatever it is that you are adding to your plate and whatever you are striving to be excellent in as well.
Just popping in here with a little fact checking. I was incorrect. The Oura Ring does not blink red or glow red when you have a high heart rate. The Oura Ring turns red when it thinks you're sleeping. So all those times when I was waking up and looking at my ring because it was red, my ring thought I was sleeping. So that's a totally different issue. But anyway, just in case you have an Oura Ring, you are the Oura company, or you're thinking about getting one, that was false news.